Welcome to the podcast of Imago Dei Community, where we are convicted to help bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world. Join us in this Sunday service as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Good morning, Imago Dei. Can we give some love to the choir and the worship team? Between Good Friday and today, they've been here all week long, and so I'm really grateful for them. Welcome. My name is Rick McKinley. I'm one of the pastors here. I wore my resurrection boot and forgot the other one. In my spare time, I like free climbing without ropes, and I was up about, 30, 40 feet. I know what you're thinking. He's got really strong hands. I actually did it walking up those stairs. So one of the few preaching injuries recorded in history. And I pulled it off. Well, we're glad that you're with us today. You all look smiling and happy. People were actually here at the 8 a.m. service. Yeah. And it's interesting because next week he's risen too. I'm not sure what the deal is, but I'll be here. Just saying, I'll be here. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we're really paying attention, like if this just isn't some religious story, it's a pretty outstanding claim that somebody who died, was put in the grave, was totally proven to be dead, actually came back to life. And the thing about it is that if the resurrection is true, as so many do testify to believe, and so many did right after the resurrection, testified to saying they had seen Christ, that if it's true, it really does change everything. It shines a light backwards into history so we can kind of understand like what was the crucifixion all about, but it also shines a light forward into history, all the way up to the present day, to you and me, to what difference does it make if Jesus Christ rose from the dead? The first time I ever heard that message, I was 18. I wandered into church on a Palm Sunday. I thought they were going to read my palm. I was totally disappointed. Turns out they were talking about wildlife, foliage, that kind of thing. Foliage, right? Foliage. No idea. I got one more service to dial this thing in, so don't you worry. Stick around. It's going to be powerful. And yet, like having no background within the church, remember hearing for the first time that there is a God, that this God loves me, that this God came and died for me, that he rose again so that the brokenness in me and in the world is not the end. And for whatever reason, in the very limited understanding that I had as an 18-year-old, the Spirit of God drew me to a place where I trusted and experienced Christ's presence and salvation. And there are many of you here who have as well. And some of you are here and you come doubting. We find ourselves in so many different places of faith. Others of you who have been in the church for a long time, but in a real sense, Jesus' resurrection is imprisoned somewhere in history and not present in the moment of your life, and so you strive with all of your strength to do the right thing for God, but it is so frustrating. Today, I want us to look at why the resurrection changes everything for everybody. The first is that if Jesus rose from the dead, when he rose from the dead, it shined a light backwards onto what happened Friday when he was crucified. Without the resurrection, he was just another man who was a criminal who was put to death. From Rome's perspective, he was a criminal, he was guilty of treason, and he was crucified. From the disciples' perspective, he was an innocent man who claimed to be the Son of God and was unjustly killed. But either way, he was a man who died on a cross. The disciples were totally confused. They ran for the hills. And yet, on Monday, there was no memorial service. There was no planning of the celebration of life. There was a totally transformed group of people who lived their life with such courage because they believed that they had saw the risen Christ. And because he rose from the grave, all that happened on the cross was transformed. It wasn't Caesar who put him to death. It wasn't the crowd who put him to death. This was the Son of God who gave his life for us. And he took it up again in 3 days. This was God among us, walking in the language of our own humanity. Christ crucified to forgive of our wrongdoings, to free us from shame, to heal us of our wounds. This was the Son of God who did the very thing that we couldn't do. He lived the life that we couldn't live. He died the death we should have died. And he conquered death for us so that it will not have the final say. Because of the resurrection, that crucifixion is totally rewritten. It has so much meaning that all of this broken creation was reconciled back to God because of that perfect blood of Christ. Now, if it was just Friday, we could all look at that and go, maybe. I mean, he talked about stuff like that. But the minute he rose from the grave, then it must be that everything else he said was true as well. He didn't just say, think about it. He proved it with a glorified body that came forth from the grave. When Paul thinks about this, he writes this letter to this church in Corinth that was very much sort of a Portland city, right? Lots of free thinking, lots of opinions, lots of skepticism and cynicism. We always think that's new, like we invented it. Like, you know, no, it happened a long time ago. Corinth had everything we had, and they probably did it better. But here's what Paul says in chapter 1 of verse 18. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand sign, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. When Paul looks back on Friday from the events of Sunday, when he looks at the cross from this side of resurrection and knows that the world shakes their head and says, what are you talking about? He says, yes, in the foolishness of the cross, we found the power of God, who subverts the powers of the world, who subverts the wisdom of man, and who comes to us in our own flesh and blood with a gracious salvation. God among us, Christ crucified and resurrected, the wisdom of God and the power of God to salvation. means for many of you, you have discovered that in this crucified and risen King, your sins have been forgiven. Your shame has been covered. Your pain is being healed. You realize that in looking back at that cross, that your lover has come to rescue you. Your King has ransomed you. The Lamb of God has taken your place and completely washed away all your brokenness and sin. Jesus did what we couldn't do, and He did it because He loves you. He loves you. And it doesn't make sense in a world where it's every person for themselves. It doesn't make sense when we live by our own accomplishments, our own righteousness, when we live in a land where we just battle out ideas and why I'm right and why you're wrong, that God would come and not triumph over us, but become the one who suffers for us. That He would make us right by taking on our wrongs. And in the gentleness of His love, He would give Himself up for us. God merciful, God enough, God made it happen. And so this resurrection morning focuses its lens back on the cross, and all of a sudden, it makes sense. The things He talked about, a seed going into the ground to die so that it could bear fruit and become much more when it rose again. And look, here all of us are. 2,000 years later, that seed still grows and still bears fruit. Some of you today have experienced this King. You have experienced Him as your lover who rescued you, as your King who ransomed you, as your healer who comforted you. And that is the present power of God, because it's not just that He was crucified, but He was crucified so that He could rise again. Which means the resurrection kind of focuses its lens to the present, to the future. It means that Jesus rose from the dead, wasn't just alive back then, but that He is still alive today. He's not locked up in the story of the Scriptures or in some religious museum in Jerusalem, but that He is present here among us today. Resurrection moving forward opens the door to that you and I have the possibility of experiencing a transforming friendship with Christ. When you read through the Scriptures, you see that God is a God who, for whatever reason, desires relationship. Way back in the Old Testament, it says that Abraham was His friend, that He spoke to Moses face to face as to a friend, that He walked with David through the darkness of his valleys. And Jesus in the upper room before He's crucified says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. The reality is the resurrection paints a picture that friendship with God is possible. And that the God who is living among us by His Spirit, crucified and risen and here today. That's really good news. When you look at the stories of the gospel, the thing that most people love about Jesus is how personable He was. And it didn't matter who you were, how society saw you, He would find people. He would seek them out. Whether it was to walk way out of the way to find this woman at the well that all of the community had ostracized. Whether it was to show up at the workplace of Peter and John in the midst of their fishing day and say, come follow me. Whether it was a woman who was carrying her sick child or a man who had lost his daughter, Jesus was present and available, no matter how tired or worn out he was. And we read those stories, and most people, even if they don't believe, they go, yeah, I like Jesus of the Bible. But the story of resurrection is that that Jesus of the Bible is the Jesus that's in this room right now by His Spirit. This Jesus who we read about back then is a Jesus who is available to all of us today, relating to us in the ordinariness of everything you're going through. Which means today some of you are here and you're in a place of doubt, and Jesus comes to you like He did to Thomas. And He says, test me, try me, I will prove myself to you. Some of you come and you're in a place of deep woundedness. And He says, come to me and I will comfort you. Some of you are in a place of shame that you can't quite get out of, and it sticks on you like black tar. And He says, I will wash your shame away. Let me set you free. Because Christ is risen, He means He's present here today. He's present in love. He's present in grace. He's present in power. He's present as healer of hearts and minds. Who He was, He is, and He always will be. God, the friend who is always with us. Which means that He is risen from the grave to give us life. He's risen from the grave to give us freedom, to give us purpose, to give us peace. And when we look at the world today, it's a reflection that mirrors back our hearts. We are a people who need love and freedom and peace and meaning. Paul, as he wrote to the church in Philippi, imprisoned, chained up, writing this letter to people, he says, essentially, all I would do right now in verse 10 is I want to know Christ. Next slide. And the power of His resurrection, to participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him into His death, somehow to attain to the resurrection. Paul could look at his entire life and he says, everything that I had going for me, I count that as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Like all my accomplishments, all the things that people applaud you for, he's saying, I take them all and I put them in the debt category. And I say, I look at them and they are garbage to me. They mean nothing to me because over here, what I have gained is the living God. And this Christ who is alive and with me, he says, is what I will press on for, what I will strive for, where I will give it all up for, because I want to know Him more. I want to taste the power of His resurrection. I want my suffering to be part of the suffering that He has given for the world. So somehow I can attain to the hope that His resurrection was just the first in all our resurrections to come. So I wonder today as we come here, where your confidence is. And this is for those of you who trust Christ and those of you who don't. It is one thing to say the words, and it's another thing to put our confidence in the risen Christ. And it's so funny that we can trust Him with the death and resurrection part, but with like the today part, we're totally skeptical, right? Like, can you trust Him with what's going on in your life? I don't know. It's pretty big. You're like, well, He conquered death. That's pretty big, right? We're like, I know, but the parking is so bad. And the Bible tells us that if we seek Him, we will find Him. We will not find a Jesus entombed in history, but the living Christ present among us by His Spirit. And I believe there are many of us here today who need to find Him. Jesus says if we open our heart to Him, that He will come to us, that He will abide with us, that He will make His home in us. And we need the living Christ to be with us today. Who is ready here to seek Him and find Him? Who will trust Him to show up in their life? Who's ready to say, I'm here, I'm ready for You to dwell with me in my heart. I am here, and You know all that's in here, the mess, the beauty, the confusion. And He says, yeah, but I will come in and I will make my home there. You don't need to change a thing. I accept you as you are today, and let me make you who I am as we walk this journey out. That is good news. Jesus is alive, and He wants us, wants you to know His kindness and His mercy and His love towards you. The Bible says that it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. That the God who would do that on the cross and conquer the grave would still show up in a language that I can understand. Infinitesimally small that I am, He would care enough to speak directly to me. That is the God who is. And so this morning I invite you to come in faith. For some of you who are like, I've been at this a long time, and it still feels like it's all on me, I would just encourage you, today sometime, take 10 minutes, and just sit a chair across from you and pretend that Jesus is in that chair. And just say, Jesus, I give up on religion. And I open my heart to You, and I ask that You would come and meet me. I'm seeking You, and You have promised that I would find You, and I want You to just meet me here. He will. Give it time. He'll show up. You don't have to earn it. It's already given to you. But the minute you try to earn it, it kind of goes away. Right? For others of you, you may be here, and this morning you're willing to say, I want to open my heart to God. I've been away from Him, and I want to come home. For others of you, are maybe saying, I want to trust Him for the first time. For others, you've said, I've been far from Him, and I'm ready to get right with Him. This morning, the risen Christ is ready to meet you. And so I'm going to pray, and I would just invite you that if that's your heart, if that's what your desire is, if that's what the Spirit is pulling on, that you would just pray these words with me, if they resonate with your heart. And I want to help lead you into a place of saying yes to Jesus. Would you close your eyes and bow your head with me? And just take a minute. If you need Christ today to be your forgiver, your healer, your comforter, the kindness of God who is ready to greet you, would you just pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, I open my heart and my life to You. I trust that You are alive and that You are with me. Come into my life and be my King and my friend. Wash away my sin and set me free from shame. I want to know You, Jesus, and the power of Your resurrection. I give You my life as You have given Yours for me. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Himself. If you're interested in hearing other sermons or want more information about the church, please visit our website at www.imagodaycommunity.com. Thanks a lot for listening.